Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And Matt, it's great to be back at Podcast HQ.
Yeah, we're back together again.
Where the Scream Verdict team rains havoc on the Internet and its interns.
Yes. So, you got back from America. Safe trip back and everything, I'm assuming.
Yes, everything. Well, the flight was actually a little bit bumpy.
Oh.
I was actually a little bit worried at one point, because there's a bit of turbulence, and it actually got to the point where I was like, whoa, is everything okay? And normally when there's that turbulence, you know how they put the seatbelt light on?
Yes.
They didn't even do that. So I was like, well, if they're not worried enough to put the seatbelt light on, I shouldn't be worried about the fact that I feel like we're about to crash.
Yeah, and look, plane flights can get pretty boring, so it's good to mix it up a bit.
Unless the turbulence was so bad it actually knocked out the seatbelt lights.
Yes.
Which would be a little bit worrying. But no, all good and ready to podcast.
Yes. And what are we podcasting on today?
We're going to be reviewing a film called American Hustle.
Mm.
Not the story of my time in America. But a film set in the 70s, I believe.
I believe it was the Carter administration.
I know you're a fan of any film with Carter appearing in the background. Were you looking at the TVs? Yeah.
Well, Carter got a mention. But, oh, maybe they'll win the Oscar for Best Picture this year. We know how much those Oscar voters love films set in the Carter administration.
Taking a page out of the Argo playbook.
Yes.
We'll see if it takes any pages out of the Return of Jafar playbook, equally great playbook to steal from.
Yes.
American Hustle. And as you might be able to guess from the name, it's a con artist film.
Hmm. Yeah, someone asked me what this film was about the other day when I said, oh, I just saw American Hustle. And they said, what is it about? Okay. And I said, it's sort of these people trying to, like, hustle something up in America.
It provided them literally no more information than the title already has.
I think the title says it all, though, doesn't it? Like,
and it could have been about Hustler. Maybe that's what it is. Because a lot of the advertisements were very sexy.
Mm. Well, you know, it's a sexy, sexy time, sexy place, sexy, sexy setting. Hustling is pretty sexy.
My friend Borner saw the film before I did, and his review of it said, it's the film with the most amount of titties without there actually being titties.
Now, you told me Borner said this, and I thought, I think we saw a little bit, just a little bit. You saw the film after this. Did you see anything?
No, I'm going to agree with Borner. A lot of cleavage, a lot of promise of breasts, but no actual reveal of breasts.
Okay, I must be remembering it wrong. Thought maybe there was one scene.
So, for
not that that matters.
If that was determining whether or not you would see the film,
yeah,
perhaps we can go into some more useful analysis of the film of than whether or not you see nipple.
What were you expecting with American Hustle, directed by Oscar nominee David O. Russell?
I love con artist movies. I think they're great. The Sting,
yes,
is one of my favorites. That's one of my favorite ever movies.
We love The Sting, you and I.
Con artist films are just ripe for action, comedy, plot twists, interesting characters. I'm sure there's many I could name. Brothers Bloom was a recent one that I liked a lot as well. And what a cast. This is A-list to the nines.
Yes.
We've got Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Lawrence, Jeremy Renner, maybe a few other guest appearances. Yeah. And as you know, we're a big fan of some of those on the podcast. Yeah. I think my anniversary present to Matt featured at least two of those, I believe.
Yeah, Amy Adams and Jennifer Lawrence. Two people I would argue are the two greatest female actresses working today.
Yeah, well, how many nominations has Amy Adams got at the Oscars?
I think about four. There's
She's only like 30.
The Fighter and The Master. Yeah, four.
Jennifer Lawrence is pretty much ruling the world
Yeah.
If not just the industry.
Yeah.
At the moment. She's 23, so...
Yeah.
Taking the world by storm.
Mm.
And David O. Russell, director of, among other things, The Fighter and Silver Linings Playbook.
And look, Silver Linings Playbook I saw again this week for the third time. I didn't see it for the third time this week. I saw it for the third time of all time. And it gets better each time you watch Silver Linings Playbook. That's a great little movie. Jennifer Lawrence is great. Bradley Cooper is great. There's dancing. There's comedy. It's great.
Well, I like both of those films. I think you like Silver Linings a little bit more than I did, but good track record, good cast, con artist film. I'm down. I'm sold.
Yeah, and I heard the reviews were very good. Like, you know, about 90 on Metacritic sort of thing. So when you add those sort of responses with this sort of talent and this sort of premise, I couldn't not be very, very excited. Like, two favourite actresses teaming up. I liked it. And, like, I think I was expecting maybe a The Sting of 2013. Like, ooh, a modern-day Sting.
So let's get into the film. We decided, because it's fairly plot-based, with twists and turns and things, we wouldn't talk too much about what happens. We're going to break it down by characters.
Hmm. Let's do it.
So we're going to start off with Christian Bale.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps the main character in the film?
I would say so.
Everyone's got a good role to play. Meaty parts for all involved. Mm. But Christian Bale's probably the lead.
Yeah. None more meaty than Christian Bale.
Is there anyone more dedicated to the craft of acting than Christian Bale? Is there anything he won't put his body through?
Ooh, some people might say Daniel Day-Lewis is more. Doesn't he, like, become the person for, like, a year or something?
Yeah, okay. In terms of... I'll narrow it down, because that's quite broad. In terms of physical transformations, so just the your appearance alone, okay, what Christian Bale does to his body?
Well, there's also the guy who plays Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
He did needlessly put on a lot of weight for one season of It's Always Sunny, which they derived about 4 jokes from.
Yeah, yeah. Very committed. Very committed. So, yeah, no, Christian Bale here did put on a bit of weight. This is a very sexy movie in a lot of ways, but their leading man is the least sexy character.
The film starts with the effort that he goes to comb over his hair.
Mm.
He's got a belly, he's got this terrible comb over, but they're able to drive humour from it. It's quite a self-aware film in some ways, and I like that as an opening because it gave a bit of insight into the character, and it was quite a funny opening. Him, At first I thought he was just going to be a bit of a greaseball guy that I wasn't going to like, always trying to get one over on people, but, you know, he's got a few layers. He's very intelligent. He has a few different women in his lives, but, you know, he shows some care for him, and I guess the range that Christian Bale shows in the film, I think, is a very impressive performance.
I would agree. I think he's good. Did you like the bit where when he's a kid, his dad owned a window shop and he just went around breaking everyone's windows so his dad would get more work? I like that.
That was great.
And he works in... His legit job is at a dry cleaner's.
Mm.
So he sort of... I guess in more ways than one, takes people to the cleaners in this movie. So moving on to the film's leading lady, Amy Adams.
I'll let you kick this one off, Matt, because anything I have to say to Amy Adams, you're going to be like, okay, whatever, let me gush.
Yeah.
Let me gush over Amy Adams.
Well, I think people might think I'm a bit biased, so I've brought a friend along. A neutral third party to come along and talk a bit about Amy Adams for us today. Because people just hear me gush and like, oh, he doesn't know. He's biased. But a neutral third party, it's my cousin, Samuel Higginbottom, my English cousin, has come in to tell us a bit about Amy Adams' performance in the movie.
Wow, special podcast guest.
So, hello. So we're going to talk now about Amy Adams. And she gave a great performance in this movie. Really, I'm expecting big things from her. You know, she'll probably win Oscar one day. Probably one of the best working actresses today. Top of the morning to you, Jonathan.
It's great to have you here, Sam. Where exactly from England are you?
You know... It's funny you should ask that, Jonathan. Actually, from a sort of west south side, the west south bank in London.
From the famous Bank of London, the old London Shore.
Yes. But my accent might not sound like I'm there, because I have some quite interesting, like, parents and things, so...
Were they American?
What? No, they were... So what did you think of Amy Adams' accent, Jonathan?
I quite like Amy Adams, not to the extent of your Australian cousin Matt.
Oh, he loves her.
And I like the start where she meets Christian Bale and you have that sort of a collision of two worlds and they sort of become a bit of a team. But I found her a little bit grating throughout the film. I found her a bit mean and a bit annoying. And I wasn't sure how much of she was putting on. I was like, oh, this is a con artist film. But, you know, I didn't feel like some of the things she did were very nice or, you know, were deserved. And she does put on this English accent. You might be able to tell us what sort of dialect from the old country she was using.
Well, I think you're from England too, James. So you should be able to know that.
And I found that went on a little bit too long. Like, I know she had to stay in character, but there were a lot of scenes where she was doing it, and I started to find it a bit annoying. I'm not sure what it was, but something just irritated me about the character. At one point in the film, actually, I thought, why am I not enjoying her? Like, it's a good performance. You know, I'm enjoying what's going on. But am I in a bad mood or something? Something about that just really, it wasn't quite clicking. It wasn't quite working for me.
Yeah, you were probably in a bad mood.
I am a notoriously mopey film goer.
Matt's told me. So what...
When's he coming back? Where has he gone, by the way?
I know, he used to pop out for something. So,
probably a Subway cookie.
But she really, Christian Bale, a bit fat, bit of a comb over, but she really goes gaga for Christian Bale.
Yeah, that... I'd be buying a Duke Ellington vinyl and just be taking it around to parties if I was looking to, meet faux English girls.
Well, she says it's his confidence.
Yeah, Christian Bale's character is just on another level. He just does what he wants. I guess someone coming from that poor background, to see someone so ambitious and confident is quite attractive.
See, now, you say you found Amy Adams sort of more annoying and a bit cold, a bit mean and things, but I actually found her to be... I preferred her to Christian Bale because she was just a bit more about the hustle. He let his emotions get to control him a bit more than her. I liked her being about the hustle because I was in for a hustling film.
I don't think Christian Bale let the emotions affect him in the hustle, though. I think it was only outside the hustle where he was like, come on, man, this isn't cool. But in the hustle, I don't think he made too many mistakes. I think he played it well.
He did play the hustle well. But I just think, like, then he'd come home and have a cry about it all. She was a bit more cool with it.
Stiff upper lip.
Yeah, I like the British stiff upper. Maybe the British, that's probably why. I appreciate the stiff upper lip. But, you know, I love how Amy Adams sort of played it and played off Bradley Cooper as well, and you sort of know where she was landing and things. I thought that was pretty cool. So I'd best be off, Jonathan. I'll pop back off to England. And I think Matt might
come up. There's an umbrella waiting for you at the door.
Oh, great. Thank you. Because it rains a lot over there.
It's also cheaper than a plane.
Oh, yeah. Mary Poppins. Yeah. It's sent in England, too. Right near where I live is where they set Mary Poppins.
The Southwest London Bank.
Yeah, that's it.
You've been.
Yeah, so goodbye, everyone. It was great guesting on the podcast. I think Matt's going to come back now to talk about the next character.
See you, Sam. Matt, where you been?
Oh, man. Okay. I was Sam Higginbottom. You just got hustled. I just hustled the listeners.
I played along. I was in on it. I knew it was Matt.
He knew it was me all along. I was being the British cousin. I don't have a British cousin called Sam Higginbottom.
Not even.
So there you go. Nuts. There are a few little clues you could hook up on. Maybe. Oh man, a real life hustle in our American Hustle podcast.
Hustle.
So, who else is in this movie? Bradley Cooper's in this movie. He obviously liked working with David O. Russell before he got paid a lot for this movie.
Yes, Bradley Cooper, he plays an FBI agent with a perm.
Mm-hmm.
I know Bradley Cooper is one sexiest man alive before.
Yeah.
So he's a bit of a trendsetter. Maybe the perm will
take off.
Be making a return in 2014. Bradley Cooper gets to go just kind of a bit mental in this film.
Yeah.
In previous films, he hasn't necessarily played a straight person, but it's kind of just a usual lead that's fairly dependable. You know, his head's fairly straight when everyone else is kind of going crazy around him. In this film, he gets to be one of the crazy ones.
Yeah.
He's an FBI agent that's just determined to make this huge case no matter what.
Hmm.
And the case and his relationships and his crazy hair just seem to push him over the edge at times.
Hmm.
And I think in the comedic scenes, that worked really well. There are a couple of really, really funny scenes with Bradley Cooper.
Hmm.
In terms of some of the dramatic scenes, I think it may be the tone didn't quite fit as well. I just thought, well, this guy needs to relax, just rein it in a bit. But the comedy was definitely working with Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, I thought he was great in the movie. I thought he was fun. Again, following up Silver Linings Playbook very well. However, what do you think about Bradley Cooper? Were we meant to be going for this character, or did we want to see the rug pulled from under him?
I wanted to see the rug pulled
from under him. Yeah, so did I. Yeah, I was on the Christian Bale, not the Bradley Cooper team.
My favourite things about Bradley Cooper were his interactions with Louis C.K.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were funny.
I wasn't the biggest fan of the show Louis, but Louis C.K. is in the film as his boss. And he has this story about ice fishing, which keeps on getting interrupted.
I love that.
Bradley Cooper does an impression of Louis C.K. at one point.
The ice fishing scenes, I think, were the funniest scenes in the movie. I thought they were great. And yeah, I thought Bradley Cooper was really... He was fun. It's not like I hated him. And I found his stuff with Amy Adams quite interesting. Like, is she using him? Is he using her? Are they just in love with each other? Like, it was a bit... There's some ambiguity there at times, which I found pretty interesting to see which way she'd fall, which way he'd fall. Yeah. Now let's talk one of our favourites, one of everyone's favourites.
The second half of the Silver Linings team.
Yes. Back again with David O. Russell. So it seems like actors like working with David O. Russell.
Mm.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yep, following up, Hunger Games, a little indie film known as The Hunger Games in American Hustle. Jennifer Lawrence plays a housewife, someone that is basically mental. You know, she seems to just stay inside and do things in the house, mostly set things on fire,
yeah,
and play with her nails and her hair, and she sort of gets involved in things, and you don't know whether she's actually sort of cluier than she is and is sort of pushing little pieces of the puzzle forward throughout the hustle.
Yeah.
Or whether she is just causing havoc because she is just completely thick and has no idea what any of the consequences for any of her actions are.
Yeah.
I found her fascinating. I thought some points were a bit silly, but I thought some of her scenes were really funny, and I just was like, this girl's crazy.
it's another great Jennifer Lawrence performance. This is one the critics have really latched onto. She could win the Oscar again this year for this. She's one of the front runners for the supporting actress Oscar. So she can do no wrong, Jennifer Lawrence. I think she was great here too. Like, I think she's funny. She's got some real, like, some heartbreaking scenes in there too. Like, the scene with her and Amy Adams in the bathroom is very good. It's a very sort of intense but a little funny as well. Like, yeah, Jennifer Lawrence is great, and, yeah, I loved her lighting things on fire. That was pretty funny.
The science oven.
Yeah. I was saying to someone the other day, you know what, I'd go out with Jennifer Lawrence. But I think I'd find her quite intimidating. Because she's so cool. Like, and she's so confident and cool. I'd always be doubting myself with the relationship.
In person, she seems cool, but not that confident. Like, she's a little bit self-deprecating.
Yeah, but in a cool way. Like, in a confident way, she's self-deprecating.
Yeah, which is an attractive quality, but shouldn't be an intimidating quality.
I guess.
Confidence, Matt. We just established that that's the key.
Because, like, someone like a Taylor Swift seems very insecure. It seems like... I feel like I'd be more comfortable with Taylor Swift. I feel like there'd be less chance that she'd realise, hey, this guy, do I really need this guy?
All right, so moving on.
Jeremy Renner. Playing a politician.
With the highest hair in politics.
Yes. Putting Mitt Romney to shame.
I thought he had a great character because the whole time you're thinking, is he corrupt or is he just doing what's best for the community? He had that silver tongue. He was very good at speeches and was getting involved in the deals. I like Jeremy Renner. I thought he had a bit of a nothing character in the Avengers when we reviewed that. But I liked him in The Bourne, whatever the latest Bourne was.
The Bourne Legacy, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, probably. You can tell I liked it.
Yeah.
And
he played a more crucial character in that.
And I really liked him in things like The Town and The Hurt Locker. And he doesn't get that much screen time in this, but all the scenes he had, I really enjoyed.
Yeah, like, I think of all the performances we've talked about so far, his is the least good. But that's more because of the character that they gave him. Like, I think the other four have much more dynamic characters. He's a bit more the person who's sort of the subject of the hustle. So it's sort of less about him and more about them trying to get one over on him.
So that's the A-listers. Let's move on to some of these other losers.
Well, I've just got Jack Houston down because he's a, you know,
Screen Verdict Award winner.
He's a Screen Verdict Award winner and friend of mine.
Jack Houston played Richard Harrow in Boardwalk Empire, winning the Best Television Actor of 2012 at the Screen Verdict Awards, and is a close Skype friend of Matt's.
Yes. I wasn't expecting, even though he's a good friend of mine, he hadn't told me he was in this movie, so I was a bit surprised when he popped in. And yeah, no, he's good again, but probably not one of the best performances in the movie.
He looked sort of very much like his character in Boardwalk Empire. Similar haircut, he's wearing a black suit the whole time. It was almost weird to see him without the mask.
See, I was going to say he looked about half like his character in Boardwalk Empire.
I like him, though. I love him as an actor, so I hope I get used to it. I hope he gets more roles where I can see the whole of his face.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't get typecast as a half-face person, because there aren't heaps of those roles going around.
We'll have to do another Batman, bring back Harvey Dent.
Yes, Jack Houston as Harvey Dent. He'd be a good Harvey Dent, I think this is good. Yeah. So, there you go. Should we give this film a verdict?
Let's screen verdict it.
Let's do it. Jonathan, you're back in the country. I'll let you go first.
American Hustle, pretty high expectations. Good director, great cast, great premise. I think It started off really well. It had a great tone. It was really funny. There was a bit of setup, but I didn't mind that. It sort of took a while to get into it because I was enjoying the characters. Once it became a bit more plot-driven, I thought it lacked a bit of pace. It lacked a bit of the twists and turns that makes a con artist film great. And then the ending I thought was satisfying, but a little bit weak. I was kind of just like, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I was expecting something a bit bigger. And especially because at that point I felt like I'd invested a lot of time and some of the things had started to grate me a little bit. Some of the characters started to become a bit annoying. I felt a tiny bit let down. So I'm going to say I enjoyed it, but didn't quite live up to the potential. And I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
Okay. American Hustle is a movie. And it's quite long. Didn't take out of the Return of Jafar playbook. But I really enjoyed the whole thing. So I don't think it was too long. I was really getting into all the characters, all the plot. I thought there was some good drama moments, there was some classic comedy moments. I think this was a really nice film for a really nice tone. Great soundtrack. Great soundtrack, David O. Russell. So, yeah, the music was great. The acting was great. Amy Adams and Jennifer Lawrence, how good are they? They're so good. And Bradley Cooper and Christian Bale were really good too. So, like, it's just the perfect cast with a fun story, with good plot twists and things. I really thought this was a great film. The ending did let me down. I was expecting a The Sting level ending, and we did not get a The Sting level ending.
No.
I thought it was sort of the ending was okay. Like, it was a good ending. It's just I feel like then they... Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to see the movie. Give me your opinion. So the ending does hurt it. Like, I think this could be a 9 out of 10 with a great ending. So I think I'm going to have to give it 8.5? 8.5. 8.5 for American Hustle. I'm giving it to Captain Phillips out of 10.
Well, there you go. Solid scores. Perhaps similar to the last David O. Russell film. Both liked it, but you liked it a touch more than I did again.
Yeah, David O. Russell. He's, you know, moving on up there. One of my favourite directors, I guess, with two very strong outings from him. Now, housekeeping. Everyone's favourite segment. Everyone loves the housekeeping.
Sure do.
Yeah. I guess some people just listen to the housekeeping. If you're doing that, maybe listen to the whole podcast too. That'd be good. Okay, there's a few things we've got to catch up on. One is we never, as we usually do, cover the sexiest people alive. Every year we cover this.
Yeah.
Who the sexiest person people alive are, as decided by People and Esquire magazines. Do you know who they are?
No.
No, you don't know who they are. Yeah, so Jonathan usually doesn't stay on the pulse of these things, so it's nice. I can surprise him with them. We get his raw opinion. So you want sexiest man alive?
Sure.
Do you have a, who would you want to be sexiest man alive this year? Who do you think was the sexiest man alive?
Ooh. You've got your usual suspects, your Ryan Goslings, your George Clooney's, maybe Fassbender even. Yeah, these are just actors I like that I'm listing. It usually goes based off buzz. And if anything had buzz this year, it was Breaking Bad. So I'm going to say Bryan Cranston.
Okay, it was not Bryan Cranston. Wow. It was Adam Levine. Was People Magazine's sexiest man alive.
Wow, the voice must be rating very well. Has he even released an album this year?
I don't know. No.
So he didn't even release anything this year except for a song with Lonely Island.
Yeah.
He's done very well for himself.
Well, I remember last year, one of the girls' names I threw around for Sexiest Person Alive was Zooey Deschanel. And he said, yeah, like they're going to give it to the TV person. And this year they give the Sexiest Man Alive to someone from TV.
Oh, man.
I'm calling this as a bad call.
You know, I don't dislike Adam Levine.
Don't have a problem with Adam Levine. It's not.
But I'm just questioning what he has done to demonstrate sexiness in the year 2013 beyond hosting a not even hosting, just being a judge on a reality TV show.
One of four judges. very surprising choice.
Like, what's his name? Matt Preston. He's a host of a reality TV show. They only have 3 judges.
Yeah.
There's like 8 1/3% more hosting than Adam Levine.
Adam Levine.
And what's bigger than MasterChef?
Yeah, well, I think Adam Levine's a bit more sexy, though, than Matt Preston.
Those cravats, man. He's very stylish.
Yeah, yes. Okay, do you want the girl one now?
Okay.
Who would you pick for Sexiest Woman Alive?
Jennifer Lawrence has got to be the front runner.
Yeah, hands down. I don't think anyone else should be in the discussion, to be honest. Hunger Games, she won the Oscar this year. American Hustle, the press conference she did after the Oscars, I think made everyone fall in love with her. Like, it's just, there's no one that comes close.
I mean, I feel like I should say my girlfriend. I feel like if I don't put that out there, that I think she's sexier than Jennifer Lawrence, I could get in trouble.
Is she getting to the tail end of our American Hustle podcast, though?
I feel like if she listens to all of this podcast, she deserves to be rewarded by not being said to be less sexy than Jennifer Lawrence. So I'm voting for Bonnie Eford as sexiest woman of 2013.
Can I just say I'm by no means laughing, because I think the idea of your girlfriend being sexy is laughable. I just think this is a rare hint of romanticism from you, Jonathan, that is so seldom expressed on the podcast. It's so sweet that I'm finding it amusing. So, fair call.
I don't think she won, because I feel like she would have told me.
Yeah, it wasn't Bonnie. It wasn't Jennifer Lawrence.
What?
Yeah.
Was it Christina Aguilera? Are they just giving it to hosts of the judges on The Voice?
NBC has paid off these magazines. Ridiculous amounts. No, it's Scarlett Johansson. She is sexy.
People like Scarlett Johansson. What has she done this year?
Well, she's in a little movie called Her.
I've heard of it.
though you don't see her in Her at all. It's a voiceover performance. She plays a computer operating system that Joaquin Phoenix falls in love with.
That's not really that sexy. I mean, that sounds interesting, but it's not.
I think maybe she's a sexy operating system. I think to fall in
it's
love
not
with
Linux.
An, yeah.
It's not Linux.
Yeah. I think to fall in love with a computer operating system, it would need to be pretty sexy. So there you go. Jennifer Lawrence robbed, but I guess Scarlett Johansson, not a ridiculous choice. Jonathan, you told me, you gave me a little bit of information that could be of interest to our listeners. Could make an impact on Screen Verdict history. We could be rewriting the books. Apparently, on the plane back from America, you watched a little film called There Will Be Blood.
Yes. For a long time, Matt and I have had the debate of what was the best Western of 2007. I said The Assassination of Jesse James, which Matt had not seen, and he said There Will Be Blood, which I had not seen. I made Matt watch The Assassination of Jesse James. I finally got around to watching There Will Be Blood.
Okay. Now, this is also not just for our debate, but I remember this was, we had in the SVs, the Screen Verdict 100th podcast showdowns, best film more than 2.5 hours long was awarded to Jesse James.
Yes.
But listener of the podcast, Bob Phelan, suggested There Will Be Blood. And since you hadn't seen that, I said I'd be happy to bump Jesse James for There Will Be Blood, but you haven't seen it. So if you prefer There Will Be Blood over Jesse James, we can change what the best 2.5 hour movie is. So anyway, there's the stakes. It's our best Western of
Screen Verdict history.
Yeah.
On Jonathan, the line.
So what did you think about There Will Be Blood?
My mini verdict for There Will Be Blood is that it is the Raging Bull of the 2000s. Got a big name director in Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
It's an epic film.
Yeah.
It was critically received very well.
Yes.
And it has a powerhouse lead performance.
Yeah.
I think the performance in this was fantastic. I've not really been a big of a fan of Daniel Day-Lewis. Not from really his films, just I find him a bit of a greasy, weird guy in interviews.
Yeah.
But I was astounded by the performance in this. I thought it was truly fantastic.
It's very good.
The film does not quite live up to the performance.
Okay.
I think it's a great film, but not one of my all-time favourite films.
Mm.
I'd probably give this around an 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse James is a 10 out of 10. My favourite film of all time, and still my nominee for best film over 2.5 hours long since 2000.
Okay, we'll keep it at that, because although I think maybe There Will Be Blood was better than Jesse James and maybe the best film of that year, it's not one of my favourite films of all time. I think it's very good, There Will Be Blood, though. So there you go. I think that's a podcast in the bag.
Yes. Plenty of podcasts to come. We're going to be doing Walking Dead, Homeland. Looking forward to the 2013 Screen Verdict Awards.
Yes. Frozen, maybe.
Perhaps the Apprentice Board Game Screen Verdict Podcast Challenge.
Well, we might have to do that for our next one, because you've still got a lot of Walking Dead and Homeland to catch up on.
Shh, shh. Yes. No need to air dirty laundry to the listeners.
So, but no, that's exciting for the listeners, though, because it means they'll get their Apprentice Board Game showdown earlier.
So if you're interested in any of those, you know where to find us. Screen Verdict on iTunes, facebook.com/Screen Verdict Podcast.
And I'm not sure if this will be up before Christmas, but if it is, have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes, check out our merry, merry photos on the Screen Verdict page.
Yes. Let's make sure we're tagged in them now.
And until then, guys, Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next week.
Cheerio.
Sam's back.